Sinners and choosers and lovers and dreamers and hypocrites, cynical folks, and everyone else. Welcome to Choose Your Own Religion. My name is Joe. Thank you for tuning in. This week I have Jenny Young on the show. Jenny is a comedian out in New York City, and that's where we did this interview, in the hotel I was staying at in between fish shows. I was there for like 10 days. I did some stand-up shows, but then I got purely into fish concert mode towards the end of it. Before you think I'm too hardcore, I only saw 5 out of 13 shows, which truly is not even that many. But Jenny has a really cool story about her conversion to Judaism. It's definitely unique. I'm really glad she was down to spill it. So that was a cool episode. I'm currently debating now if I want to move to New York. It's hard not to when you go to Central Park on a Tuesday afternoon and see a saxophone player playing a good version of Careless Whisper, and a 2-year-old walks up and gives him a high five and tips him, and the synergy that's created there. I mean, that's God's pitch to me to move to New York, but we'll see. I then got back to LA and went on one hike, and I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, I can't leave LA. So to be determined. I had a great trip. I had an amazing time. I'll talk a lot more about how much fish was important to me and impacted me. I'll talk about that on my blog, which you can go to chooseyourownreligion.com and find it there. You can also find old episodes on chooseyourownreligion.com of this show if you like this show. So that's it. Jenny Young is here. Follow her on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and stuff. She has Cooking with a Sex Addict, which we talk about in this episode, and I'll have the links to that in the show notes. So set the gear shift for the high gear of your soul. Here's Jenny Young.
Allow the soothing music and uplifting affirmations to center your heart and mind in an awareness of God's love.
Wake up, my dear sinners. Wake up from your deep rest. Won't you say your prayers? Know that you are blessed. I love you, oh, but Jesus loves you the best. And I hope that you choose your own religion.
Hey, sorry about my voice, by the way. I was in, like, this event last week, and I totally just shot my voice. I was screaming the whole time.
Wait, what event caused you to scream the whole time?
Well, so basically, I was, I started a new day job. It's like a temporary summer job, but it's like really just, it's like slowly mentally unraveling me because it's like working with kids all day, and I love the kids. I love them, and wasn't expecting to, but just the full-time schedule type of thing is just like my, like, broke comedian constitution can't handle it, so I'm just like, no, and it's just like, it feels like it's ruining my life, even though I know in the big picture, it's gonna be over in, like, literally 3 weeks, and it doesn't matter, but I just, but my brain's like, I gotta get out of this, like, right now, and so, like, the event was just, like, it wasn't even a work event during hours, it was just, like, after work, you know, they have this one day where the staff has a dinner, and they go out, and they party and stuff, and it was really fun, but my voice is shot, so, yeah.
And that's, that sucks for stand-up, too.
Yeah. I mean, like, for the past couple weeks, I really haven't, like, barely been able to go out at all, because I've just been so exhausted. Like, for the whole program is only 2 months. For the first 3 weeks, I was, like, doing double, because it was just a recent change, and I was like, oh, this is so cool, like, I have this new job, and I can do stand-up still, but then slowly it just started, like, eating away at my sanity, and so, like, I just had no more energy, like, my energy's left, all I had energy to do is do a full-time job, and then go home and sleep, and that's all I've been doing for, like, the past couple weeks, and, like, I've accepted that that may be how the rest of the job goes, but that's just, like, you know, what comes with the territory of actually working and stuff.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, I'm like fine with that because I know that, like, this is only one job and I don't have anything else lined up after this, so I have to really, like, save up.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that, but it's really tough.
Yeah, I mean, my own day job is like, there's some days where I can get, like, through it and not spend too much energy and I feel good at night, but it's, you get, like, string, like, a week of that together by, like, Thursday, Friday, I'm just, like, so dead.
Yeah.
You know?
It's horrible.
And especially because, like, especially stand-up, I used to think that it didn't matter if I was tired, I could still do it, but man, it's, like, part of like my getting older and doing more stand-up is I feel like it's like 80% your energy and like mm-hmm. your attitude and your like your vibe.
Definitely.
And so when I'm crashing, it's just like a sad, tired asshole.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how comedians have any jobs at all. Like,
ever. Yeah.
I'm really impressed by that.
Wait, how long have you been in New York now?
I've been here for like 2 years.
Okay.
Because I got here in February of like 2015.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you were in LA before that?
Yeah, I started in LA and I did that for like a couple years and then I moved here.
As somebody who's thinking about moving to New York, the person who was thinking about moving to New York. I've been very seduced this weekend by it. I've also been on vacation mode all week, but like I've been loving the mics, loving the spots I've had and shit. Can you sell me on or sell me against moving to New York? You loved it?
Yeah, I mean, so firstly, I'm biased, but secondly, like, I'm totally, like, pro-New York and anti-LA. I'm, like, openly that way.
Just partisan.
I'm totally partisan on that, and I know that I am, but I still feel that way. So anybody who asks me, like, I have very specific reasons why, and I know other people might have had other experiences, but my experience has been, like, pretty much the only thing that I miss from LA is the Mexican food and the Mexican pop music radio, and that's basically it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
The stand-up scene definitively, like, it works better for you here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Pretty much everything across the board. Stand-up, lifestyle, transportation, you know, everything. But also, I'm, like, from the East Coast originally, so I think that I relate more to it culturally.
Yeah, me too.
But, yeah. So that's what I would also say as a disclaimer is, like, wherever, you know, you feel like West Coast vibe fits you more, then that makes more sense for you to go there. But if, like, you're more of an East Coast vibe, like, I'm totally way more of that, then, like, New York makes much more sense.
Yeah, there's, like, and I think maybe people call it traditionally, like, you know, New York is always go, 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 or it's, like, people mm-hmm. are workaholics and LA is more chill and laid back. I mean, maybe that's some of it, but there's something, too, just about, like, talking to people or, like, dating people, especially when I've like dated native Angelenos, it never works out for some reason. And I'm not trying to make it not work out. There is like a subtle attitude, mm-hmm. like a view towards life or something.
I feel like it's also like dating in cities just sucks.
That too.
But yeah, I mean, like LA, so in LA, I felt like there were only three things that people really cared about, and that was number one, your social media presence. Number two, your like social popularity presence. And number three, how hot you are.
Right.
So, if you didn't score well on all three of those, then you really have no chance.
Miserable.
And in New York, it's like, it's not, like those things still matter and they still help. They'll help anywhere. But, you know, other things still count for a lot too, like your ideas, your writing, how passionate you are, how like intense you are, it helps. And I feel like intensity can count against you in LA, but I feel like, you know, as an East Coast person, I can be very, like, intense and very passionate sometimes, and sometimes I can get, like, confrontational. I need to release my energy and emotions in, like, a strong way, and that really puts off, like, people from the West Coast, because that's not culturally, like, acceptable.
Right.
So, it just, like, I just don't feel like it makes sense for me.
I hate that idea that, like, caring means you're, like, losing or something. Like, the person, the idea, like, if you're in an argument and you're like, oh, you mad, bro? Like, that's the classic internet thing. Like,
right.
Oh, look at this guy being upset about something. Clearly, he's, like, out of control.
Right.
You're like, no, I'm just right about this thing.
You just have a human emotion, which is something that like a robot Los Angeles person doesn't understand, but you know, that's just what they do.
If I do end up moving here, I straight up will miss like the sunshine and the hiking and shit like that. Mm-hmm.
Have that, it's just like semi-annually, and also like I do appreciate the seasons again, like I totally forgot about it.
Oh my god, yes.
But yeah, and it's not that I'm a fan of winter, but I appreciate summer more because I have winter now, and I totally forgot about the existence of that.
I've totally blocked it out from
right,
my mind.
Right.
So I remember we saw each other at the Charm City Comedy Festival down in Baltimore.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's what reminded me that you had an interesting you've had an interesting religious sort of story. I mean, that, so this is all.
Yeah,
I,
interesting.
Well, I didn't mean any connotation behind that. I know, this is what I know. At some point, you converted to Judaism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you fill me in on the rest of the details?
Sure, yeah. Yeah. So basically, as short as I can make it is that I grew up with, like, basically only Jewish people, and I always had Jewish friends growing up, but these, to be specific, you know, like, very liberal, reformed Jewish friends. And mm-hmm. that's what I knew and what I just kind of felt like I fit in with in
was
terms
that
of Judaism.
In New York?
That was in, like, suburban Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So that was just, like, my idea of Judaism, and I liked it, and I felt right about it. And I still feel like it's what I most relate to, just because I grew, like, most of my life growing up was that. And then, like, in college, I basically, just for all of the, you know, usual reasons, I had a meltdown emotionally and, like, everything about, like, what do I want to do with my life? And I don't even know, like, I thought I wanted to do accounting, but why is it not fun? Like, anybody can find accounting fun, then you'd be a psychopath.
Right.
But,
right.
But yeah, so then I was just, like, I was questioning a lot of things, and, like, I just got so, like, horrendously in the meltdown that I was like, okay, maybe I should look into, like, religion, because I feel like I'm gonna literally go insane and, like, snap. Just something bad is gonna happen. So, like, I had no religion growing up, like, absolutely none. And so I didn't know really any deep details about it at all. So I was just, I started exploring things that I knew about and researching online and stuff, and obviously, the first thing that I knew about was Judaism, so I'm like, okay, I gotta put that on the list, gotta study uh-huh. that. And then I also took a few courses at, like, Mass and stuff, like Catholicism, because I'm like, okay, I know that there are a lot of Catholics, and there seem to be some, like, decently intelligent people that are Catholics,
yeah.
so I'll look up into that. And so I studied both of them, like, very shallowly for a bit, and then I just moved, like, more and more away from anything besides Judaism, because I'm like, okay, I think I just relate to this more. I already know more stuff about this than the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I converted through, I was in a conservative conversion program, which is, you know, basically medium on a level of, like, 0 to 10. And
yeah.
then I had the conversion at this, like, liberal reform temple. And at the university, I had the mikvah, which is kind of like the Jewish version of a baptism, even though
mm-hmm.
baptism was based on that. But, like, yeah, I had that across the street from there. So it, and that was, like, reform, like, very liberal. So this is all, like, you know, on a scale of, like, 0 to 5, like, in between that level of religiosity
uh-huh.
of when I first converted. Then I moved to New York, and then I just, by some stroke of providence, I just moved into this extremely, like, Orthodox Jewish neighborhood. And then I, like, fell into this Orthodox vortex where I started dating, like, this formerly Hasidic guy, which is, like, a 10 out of 10 on the, like,
right.
religious scale. And then, you know, like, all their friends, and then my whole circle was these, like, either currently or just borderline or just, you know, formerly super religious Orthodox people. And that, and I don't know, I guess I got sucked into that because I was, like, learning. I felt like it was, like, filling in a lot of holes, like, sexually and religiously that I just had not experienced. And then it was just, but then I just, like, kind of realized, and I was like, oh, this is too, like, too much. And so I just kind of, like, along with a lot of other stuff that was going on in my life, I, like, had to cut out a lot of toxic relationships and people, and I just kind of, like, slowly wadded out of the Orthodox vortex.
Wow.
Yeah, and now I'm just, like, you know, I'm just back to medium mode of, like, you know, barely just more observant than my friends, so I can feel better than them. But
oh,
it's
perfect.
Like,
yeah.
But it's, like, way not anything near, like, an actually religious person.
Sure. Man, there's so much to unpack there. So you, in your like, when you were dating, you said a formerly Hasidic Jew, right?
Yeah.
So when being around, like, Orthodox people, is it, because this is one thing I've heard about Judaism is that, I don't know, maybe this is more of the liberal, reform type people speaking, but, like, to some degree, it seems like a lot of people identify as Jewish, and that not even just through the birth of, like, through their mother, but they like, oh, I'm Jewish, but they don't necessarily believe in God per se, or it seems like that part doesn't matter. It's more about the rituals. It's more about the actual actions you do.
Yeah.
I mean, do you find that to be true? I mean, as Orthodox, I would imagine it's like the whole kit and caboodle. It's like, oh, we believe in God.
Yeah.
We do everything like down to a T.
Right,
like,
right.
No lights on Saturday. Were you doing that at any point?
Oh, well, I did have to practice observing the Shabbos, but, like,
mm-hmm.
now I, you know, I go on the internet and I go out and stuff, so I, like, I'm not, like, keeping within the Orthodox rules of that, but, like, I try to keep my Saturday, you know, fun and restful and stuff, and
sure,
I visit
yeah.
my family every Saturday, but yeah, there is that, like, what you're talking about, there is that a huge component to Judaism of it being cultural as well as, you know, religious. It's like Judaism isn't just a religion, it's kind of like a whole shit ton of stuff put together, and
it's
and
a lifestyle.
It really is just like a lifestyle. It's like a guilt complex. It's just like it's a everything. There's just a lot to it that, you know, you can't immediately like express or communicate to someone who is not familiar with it, so you just say Judaism.
Right.
You know, partially race, partially religion, which kind of sums it up, but really not at all.
Yeah.
So there's just, like, a lot of stuff involved in it that is, like, you learn about when you dive deep into it, and then, but if you didn't, you would just see, like, the surface of it.
Now, somebody who is, I mean, you're Asian.
Yeah. Correct.
I mean,
you got that correct.
I don't mean to. Yeah, I don't mean to. But
how dare you assume that about me just by the way I look? What?
But I mean, did you get any blowback or grief or like weirdness for being an Asian? And be like,
yeah, I totally did, and I still do today. But I mean, at one point, I used to really get upset about it. But I think honestly, like the. I mean, the truth is that I think that's actually one of the most important parts of my experience through the whole thing, because it really gave me, like, the deepest part of, like, learning that Judaism isn't, like, more fair or more respectful than any other religions, nor are Jewish people, but people are people, and people are going to be, like, ignorant and hateful and stuff,
yeah.
no matter what you are involved with, and that's something that, like, I only truly learned through, like, going through all the bullshit that came with, like, being someone who's not white and converting to a religion where, like, the people are predominantly white in, like, a huge majority way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like I would get nervous even as, like, a redhead. Like,
exactly.
Converting
yeah.
I mean, did you ever have it, was there any, I don't know how overt this is, was there anything, like, specific said to you, or is it more, like, the sort of subtle sort of, like, ways?
Well,
or?
I mean, it was pretty overt in that, like, you know, when you see the, well, like, this is Orthodox, so I expect Orthodox people to be, like, biased, because they, I mean, they're, like, openly racist, but, you know, when they're in Union Square and they're, like, oh, Hanukkah, get your candles and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, I need some candles. And they're like, wait, why are you asking me for candles? I'm like, because I'm Jewish. And they're like, well, who did you convert with? And they put me through this fucking, like, inquisition.
Wow.
And then if they see someone who's, like, you know, slim, brunette and whatever, then they're just like, they give her candles. They don't even ask any questions. They're like, make your mother happy, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
and
my God.
Yeah. So it's, like, it's just blatantly like that. And, you know, whenever I go to dinners and people just ask, like, why are you here? Or, like, why are you doing this? Or why did you convert? That doesn't make any sense. And just, like, questioning my motivations. And it just, like, I think it mostly just confuses people. Because I didn't convert for marriage, which is how a lot of people kind of understand conversion as, like,
right.
a reason. But I just converted because, like, as I mentioned, I grew up with, like, mostly Jewish people, and I wanted, you know, to be involved in a religion, and so I put the two together, and Judaism, but that doesn't, you know, compute in people's minds as, like, an actual thing that happens, so, yeah.
That's so interesting. Wait, so you said you're barely, you know, above, you're practicing now just more than, like, and maybe somebody who doesn't practice. Like, do you have any specific things that you do, like?
Yeah, so right now, I mean, I don't eat pork or shellfish, and I go to temple on, like, the high holy days, and whenever, like, there's, like, a holiday that I can go to temple and be actually, like, not fall asleep, then I'll do that. like, for Purim, that was really fun. It's when, like, you read the story of Esther, and, you know, you dress up, and you just, like, it's basically a huge party, like Halloween, kind of.
Yeah.
And then, and besides that, yeah, just, like, going to a lot of, like, Jewish social events, and I have, like, you know, in my life there's different communities and groups of people, and then I have a group that's, like, Jewish people, but, you know, kind of secular too, that I can just kind of hang out with, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, non-comedians I can go socialize with, just have a good time, and
yeah.
and just be an actual person with, and not just, like, a networker
right.
and stuff. So,
yeah,
I enjoy that, and that's basically, like, my
cool.
social life stuff. And, yeah, and I have a synagogue. It's in the Upper West Side. It's, like, very liberal, but they have a lot of Hasidic influence, like, culturally, so it's
mm-hmm.
still, it feels, like, more authentic to me, and a lot of singing, dancing, and I like the classes there, and I'm hoping to, I finished taking classes, the weekly classes there, because the semester ended, but when Yom Kippur rolls around again, they start the classes again, then I'm hoping to start going on a weekly basis again.
Cool.
Yeah.
One thing, too, as far as, like, Judaism being, you know, a culture, and being, having this sort of, this, being a race that has a specific history, I mean, whenever people traditionally talk about Judaism, it's like this culture or this history of being persecuted throughout history for whatever reason it is.
Yeah, it's
like,
what did they do before the Holocaust?
Right? Yeah. Or, and, you know, like, all the way back to, like, ancient Egypt.
Right,
or, like,
right.
You know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something, as somebody who's not, you know, from, who converted into it, that sort of thing, is there any part of that story or any other aspect of, like, the Jewish story that you connect with, that you, like, found, like, you connect with on a personal level or anything?
I mean, definitely. I as I was learning about it, that's one of the main things that I love about it, is that it's basically one macro narrative, and that's why it's so, like, effective as a religion, like, as a religion that, like, has longevity, is because it connects to a central narrative, and that story is very compelling. It's, like, a story of just being downtrodden, but, like, kind of soldiering on and winning in the end, and everybody loves a story
yeah.
of a winner, and yeah, and, like, people, the, you know, the underdog story. It's basically an underdog story.
Yeah, and, like, how to, one thing that I've heard a lot, or that resonated with me a lot from, like, Elie Wiesel's book, Night, or even an interpretation of, like, Job, like, the story of Job, is, like, just this idea that yet there's going to be a lot of unfair bullshit.
Yeah, I feel like Job is more like nihilism than, like, anything else, which I connected to it too, but
yeah. Yeah, so just, like, I think one of the people in Job, like, I think Job, I'm probably butchering the story, but I think there's, like, one section of it where he's, like, in the middle of his shit. Like, things are getting, his wife's dead, his family's dead, like, his stuff's starting to get taken from him, and he has, like, three friends that talk
yeah.
to him. And I think the purpose of them, from what I remember studying, is, like, they're supposed to espouse different sort of theological talking points of the day, is, like, why
yeah.
is bad shit happening to you?
Yeah, it's because it's your fault.
Yeah.
Your wife died because you.
I think one guy
says
that.
You didn't pray,
right?
Like, five times. You prayed four times.
Right.
So now your wife's dead. How dare you?
Yeah. And I want to say one of them, too, is just, like, I don't know. It doesn't matter. You just don't have to, you don't have to be bitter about it. You still can, like, love God. I mean, like, the way forward is not to be, like, to hold a grudge, per se, but to thrive and keep living.
Right, yeah. And also God was basically just like, well, how do you puny human know what I'm going to do? La
right.
la la. And then
oh,
he like
yeah,
flies away.
Too. Yeah, I mean, you're reminding me a lot of that story. That's just a weird story. So you have a synagogue that you go to. How did you pick your synagogue?
Well, I had to look through a shit ton of them when I came to New York. I went through, like, the whole spectrum. I started with Reform, and I really didn't like a lot of Reform temples because, you know, it was like the people didn't even want to be there. So I'm like, why do I want to be somewhere where nobody wants to be? And also, like, they didn't even use Hebrew, and I'm like, this is shit.
So
then,
like, too wishy-washy.
It was just nothing. It was like you could feel the resentment hanging in the air of, like, oh, I have to be here for 20 minutes. Like, I'm missing my favorite program. And it was just like that.
Yeah.
And so then I went to a couple conservative ones, and that was slightly better, I felt like it still was missing the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it had more Hebrew, and it had more ritual, and the services were longer, but, like, it just felt like, you know, people were still just like, oh, okay, we're here because we have to be here, basically.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I went to some Orthodox ones, and those were the ones that I connected the most with, but I had also major issues with, because of the divider, the mechitza, men, women, and the women get the shitty, like, back section, and the men get the front section, basically. But there's, like, singing, and there's dancing, and people are there because it's, like, you feel, like, you know, this is a major part of their life. They want to be here. This is what they care about, what they believe in, you know, for the most part. And you feel some real, like, passion and some real, just, like, thoughtfulness going into the services. So I really liked how that felt, but just everything else about it, I was like, okay, this is just weird, and I feel like I'm going to get kicked out at any moment. So I liked the one that I found finally, because that was the only one that struck a balance of no gender division, and, you know, liberal as well as formerly possibly Hasidic people, and singing and dancing, a lot of spirit going on, and you know, people were super, super friendly. Sometimes a little overly so, where I was like, why are you so nice? But, like, it was the most appropriate, it was, like, the least inappropriate one out of all of the ones that I'd seen. So I just stuck with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, like, that's your community now.
It's basically my Jewish community in New York. And I liked it the most out of all of them, but still I wasn't going on a consistent basis because also it's very far away from me. And, like, I'm not a services person. I really don't like services. Mm-hmm. I like everything else, but services, I'm just, like, they make me want to, like, vomit or just immediately fall asleep or something.
Right.
So
I
went there a few times and I just kind of phased out of it. But then I had told one of the rabbis there, hey, I'm interested in your bat mitzvah classes. I just had my bat mitzvah, like, a few months ago.
Oh, yeah?
And then, yeah, and so that was after, like, basically a year of studying. So that's why she, I started going there again after she called me up. She's like, the semester is starting. Would you like to be a part of the class? And I was like, sure. And so I started taking the classes, and I got to really feel like I was part of the group that I was going through the class with, because they were all in kind of the same boat. I mean, most of them were born Jewish, but then they never had the ceremony and stuff like that, so still different than me, but, like, it felt like, you know, we were all spiritual and putting time and sacrifice into learning this thing that really mattered. And so that was the first time where I felt like, okay, I'm, like, more on the same page with these people spiritually and religiously than, like, any other situation. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, you went through your rites of passage. Like,
exactly.
Your boot camp Marines.
Yeah.
We're all in the shit together.
Basically. Yeah, that was
not the
nice
shit, but, like, you know.
Right.
What I'm
like in the pews or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So, did you have a party for your bat mitzvah?
I did not. There was, like, a kiddush, which is, like, you know, wine and food after the service.
Mm.
And that was, you know, by the end of the thing, I was so exhausted, I just wanted to go to sleep. I didn't want to have a party. I was like, no more parties, you know? I had the event, which I was so stressed about, but it went well, but I was so stressed for that. I didn't want to fuck up the reading of the Torah and be, like, total noob status. But that went okay. That went fine. And then afterwards, you know, I didn't even get to eat the food. I was socializing the whole time. I was just, like, schmoozing.
No.
And everyone, you know, coming up to you and being like, congratulations. And I'm just, like, looking at the bagels as slowly they're being gone. I'm like, no. So, yeah, I didn't have time to even eat. So I just went, you know, to my grandparents' house afterwards. That's where my family had gathered. And then I just, like, fell asleep for, like, 3 hours. And that was my party. Just a nap.
That's cool. Something I wanted to go back to with the your Orthodox vortex that you you found yourself in. Something that, and I don't know, maybe this is unfair, but it seems like sometimes from afar, a lot of the Orthodox practices, and whether they're living, they tend to want to live together in the same neighborhoods, whether it's in LA or New York, like, kind of all together. But it seems almost like it seems like it could lend itself to an us versus them type narrative with, like, the outside world. Like,
they totally
like
are like that. They're
thing.
Totally
so
cut
like
off.
That.
Yeah. They're totally in their own community. They're like Chinatown, but Jews, basically. Like, a lot of them don't speak English or speak it with a very heavy accent. You think that they came from, like, Ukraine or Russia or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically wall themselves off culturally because they want to preserve absolutely, like, the orthodoxy of the religion and the culture and keep to it. And, you know, really just as minimal contact with the outside secular world as possible.
Do you feel like you were, like, when you were in your vortex, you were, like, infected with some of that type of thinking, or?
I don't know. I think the thing is, not really, because kind of a little bit yes, mostly no, because I had come into it as an outsider, so I already had the experience of breaking through barriers, mm-hmm. and that was my main goal in trying to interact with them, because I felt like I was learning very rapidly a lot of things I didn't know about Judaism, and a lot of, like, very valuable things, and they were just, like, you know, like, filling in the gaps of, like, that I really, I felt at the time, it was, I needed to know this kind of information, and then, but also, you know, I feel like I grew up in a kind of a sheltered way, as, like, everybody from one area pretty much is, I just, I had always, that's something that I really try to work on a lot, and I still, to this day, I think it's, like, a flaw, a personal flaw that I try to work on, is not being too, like, insulated, even though I want to stay faithful and true to myself, which is important to me, and I have to have my alone time, I don't want to, like, close myself off completely from experiences or people or ideas that would be, like, beneficial to me and just really interesting and make my life more colorful and rich and stuff. So I'm always trying to, like, give that a shot, even though I get uncomfortable with new things and those things very easily. But, like, I want to at least give it a fair shot.
That's really cool. I just, I know for me, whenever I start, like, getting into anything, and it's, I mean, for me, it's everything from, like, when I started doing stand-up, and you're like, oh, I'm part of the stand-up community, like, everybody who's not a comedian is, like, they don't know what they're doing with their lives.
I definitely feel like, if anything, stand-up is the one, that you would have an insular attitude to, because I still think about it as, you know, comedians versus non-comedians in terms of people more than anything else.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to sometimes when you, like, when people, because comedians are the only ones who, like, get it, like, who have gone through, especially at, like, the more time you put in, and then you're, like...
In a way, like, I feel like comedy and religion's kind of, like, similar. It's like comedy is, like, the worst religion, though, because it's like you put everything into it and it really doesn't give back much to you except for this, like, addictive high of having to do it again, or else like you want to kill yourself.
It's like comedy, the main thing I think that kills comedy for me from being a religion is it's so individual, at least stand-up is so individualistic driven, like, and for me, like, even me personally, for sure, like, you know, everything from, like, the writing of my own set is all completely, like, it feels, it's so easy to get narcissistic about all of it, because you're constantly gazing at yourself, constantly analyzing yourself, contextualizing yourself, and then it's you, it's not you versus the audience per se, but, like, sometimes it ends up feeling that way if they don't like you or whatever. It's
totally.
Versus, like, you know, the religion, I guess the Presbyterian church I grew up in, even if there's some social, like, subtle competitive kind of nature things, like who's got the coolest red hat or whatever, like of the women there or whatever, you know, like,
oh,
or
man.
What man has the guy, like, the nicest suit or something, like, maybe not, it's not that bad, but maybe there's something like that going on. For the most part, it's like, no, we're agreeing to be on the same playing field, like, we're all in this together, whereas, like, comedy, it's like, I mean, hell, like, a good usually a good comedian is, like, being dominant on stage in some way, in some form.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? So it's, but, like, there are some religious aspects of it, I think, too, though, for, like, I mean, everything from we have this shared space together and we enter the space, there's, like, certain social decorum that we agree to or not, and presumably it's to make everybody feel good and to, like, make us not hate life as much. You know? It doesn't always end up that way.
No. I think the most religious thing about it for me is, like, the open mic expectation, where it's like, you know, you have to show up and show your face around to people and socialize and be active within the open mic scene pretty much every night. If you're in a big city, to be considered, like, a real comedian or a legitimate or something, or else people will be like, oh, you're slacking. It's just, it reminds me of, like, what a judgy church person be like, oh, I didn't see you last Saturday or last Sunday. Looks like you were just at home lazing around sinning. It's the exact same thing. Just
living in sin. But it is great when you do find other comedians that are, like, your little, your pack or whatever, your little tribe.
That is cool.
Let me check. Sorry, let me check the time real quick. I just want to make sure we're doing okay. Yeah, we're doing all right. So, where was I gonna go with this? I just had a brain fart. So, New York comedians. Do you know? And there's how many other religious comedians do you even know? Like, outside of comedy as a religion, but, like,
really not any. I mean, I know my friend Brian Kim. He's also Asian. He's Korean though, and he's Christian, I think.
Uh-huh.
I don't really know. I don't ask too many questions.
Yeah.
But I think he mentioned that he goes to church, which I was really surprised about because he's like the only one I know who goes to any kind of religious service. And then when I heard that, I was like, oh, you know, foreigners, whatever. And so,
yeah.
I just chalked it up to that. Even though he's, like, a citizen now, and he's been a citizen, and he even has a joke about that. But, like, I just figured, you know, it was a cultural thing. But nobody else that I know actually attends services on a regular basis.
Yeah. Why do you think comedians we almost all tend to be, like, agnostic at best, or most of us seem like we're atheists or something, like... I mean,
I think it's just, like, comedians are just really narcissistic. Like, you know, because in religion, the thing you're supposedly to aspire towards is, like, serving God, or whatever your conception of that is.
Serving each other.
Yeah, or each other. Yeah, forgot about that. And then, like, in comedy, it's just, like, me, me, me. It's, like, you know, attention that's going towards somebody else is attention that's not going to you. And it's, like, a zero-sum game.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is just, like... It's definitely just very lonely in that regard because it's you against everybody else because you're your own act and everybody else is competing for eyeballs. It just feels like that a lot, even though I know there's probably a better way to look at it, but that's something that I've really struggled with in stand-up, and my beef with it is that just like spiritually and just kind of in principle, it just feels bad a lot, and
yeah.
It feels like it goes against a lot of things that I'm trying to cultivate in myself.
Me too.
So
yeah.
That's why I find it difficult, like, increasingly difficult to, like, keep as hard going in stand-up as much as, like, doing comedy and other avenues and stuff.
Sure, yeah. Wait, do you have other avenues you're starting to work on?
Or? I've 6 months ago, I started a YouTube channel. Well, I didn't start it. I had it just lying around for a bit, but I wasn't really actively posting anything. Maybe, like, one video a year of a new set that I'd done.
Oh.
And so that was the first time I started posting, like, you know, stuff I made specifically for that channel, and I would post, like, first I posted once a month, and that was maybe last year in October-ish until December, January, and then I posted maybe, like, 5 videos of that, and then I started doing weekly, and just, like, keeping consistent with that,
mm-hmm.
And I really have enjoyed that, and I actually really love being able to do that. I just hope that, you know, I'll keep having ideas and stuff, but I'd love to expand into that.
What's it about?
So I have a lot of, like, different ideas on there. But the first one I put on there was called Cooking with a Sex Addict, because I'm also in a 12-step program for that.
Oh, really?
Because I just have so much baggage and shit about me, so I just need to put it all out there, you know?
I just went to my first SLAA meeting recently. Actually.
Yeah, how was that?
I liked it. I don't know if I'll stay in 12-step, per se, but I saw another comedian there, too.
Oh,
was
nice.
Funny. But,
funny.
Yeah, it was, like... I mean, it was definitely the most, for me, that just even through the one meeting is just feeling that, the fellowship, right? Feeling the community,
it really is,
the
yeah.
solidarity of the community, and such a weird, diverse type of people that were in that meeting.
Totally.
You know, really.
But you can all relate on the level that you're fucked up.
Yeah.
It's nice, yeah.
Yeah.
And I told it that's my main spiritual center, really, more than Judaism, more than comedy, more than anything. I try to put the program first because it, like, really, I feel like it saved my life. I know it sounds, like, corny, but it's totally true. Like, it turned my life around from where I was when I went into it, maybe, like, a year and a half ago, to where it is now, like, total 180 in terms of, like, my ability to function and do things and stuff.
Yeah.
And live a healthy life. So I was trying to put that plus my, you know, love of cooking into it, plus just, like, comedy and jokes into this video of cooking with a sex addict, premise being that I feed these guests on the show stuff that I cooked in, like, this weird sex demon character, and then they are kind of, like, freaked out, and then afterwards I interview them, and the whole thing's, like, 2 minutes, and it was just, like, this fun, goofy thing.
Yeah.
So people really like that, and then but it was, like, really difficult production-wise and editing-wise, because I was doing everything.
A lot of work, yeah.
Everything, hours and hours, and I hate editing. I'm, like, fine at it, I'm good at it, but I hate it. I really...
It's tedious.
Yeah, it really, really... Anything to avoid it, I will, and I can, and so... I instead moved to, like, personal videos that I can produce on a weekly basis, and that was the Just Ask Jenny series, where it was basically me translating my jokes into, like, a vlog format.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I felt for such a long time, like, that's a problem that I had with stand-up as well, like, there's really no way to build an audience if you're not online as much or just like in real life.
Yeah.
And I had all these jokes and I'm just like, well, at some point they're going to be like, I never wrote them at all because all I did was I said them to like five people in a bar and it's over. That's it. That's it for the joke that I worked like so many weeks.
Yeah.
So then I was like, I was like, if I make those jokes that are going to expire anyway into like a vlog format and put it online, then somebody can enjoy it forever. And then, you know, it can just be out there for people to see my work and see my personality and sense of humor. So I just did that and in like, you know, 2 to 3 minute bits each week. And I just got all of the material that I wanted to out there. And that was probably like 6 months worth of videos weekly. So that was like really good. And it's unexpectedly, I gained, you know, a few dozen more subscribers at that point, and people actually started interacting on a consistent basis with me online, which I loved. Like, in stand-up, I don't have a fan that follows me randomly to different shows and it's like, go, Jenny!
Yeah, there
she goes again! But in, like, online, it's so easy to, like, much easier for people to follow you and to check in on you if they care about your work and they're interested in you as a personality, as a person, so then, you know, I get these consistent interactions, and I feel like somebody out there, like, is following what I do and gives a shit, or it's...
Totally, yeah.
So I love that.
That's fucking cool. And I, you know, that you just remind me of something that, where maybe comedy, maybe not even specifically stand-up, comedy does have the potential to be a spiritual, quote-unquote, you know, religious thing through its ability to, like, of alchemy, right, of taking our pain, and if we can somehow make, put it in a light that helps other people who have gone through a similar thing,
right,
that's the spiritual component, is saying, like, yeah, you've hit a bottom, but it's okay, and we're gonna, we can laugh about it, we don't have to act like it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But
actually, a lot of people have asked me about SLAA and about, like, 12-step because of the things that I've said about it through comedy.
Yeah,
so,
I'm curious about that, too. I don't know, you know, share what you want to share. I don't know. I don't want to make you ask anything you're uncomfortable with. But I mean, what does sex addiction mean to you? For me, I'll share my kind of deal with it first. What made me choose sex and love addiction, sort of as pinpointing my bullshit, is I found myself having like. And for me, sex addiction is something, it's not the type of sex you're having, it's like what you'll do to get sex.
Totally,
it's like
the
type of life choices you're making that just make you seek that out.
Yeah, it's like suck a dick for coke or just suck a dick to suck a dick, you know?
Right.
It's the same problem.
Right. But like, I found it weird that when I was in relationships, I wasn't like acting out, I wasn't going to like massage parlors or whatever the fuck it was. And that's kind of what made me realize, like, oh, I have more of, like, an intimacy craving, and then the sex is, like, this the mediocre way to sort of achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your thoughts, your background, or, like, what was, like, and for me, it was, like, a relationship ending that was kind of my rock bottom moment, and, like, what I did specifically in, like, the week after a relationship ending that made me go to a meeting.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you mind sharing, like, kind of your experiences a little bit?
No. I mean, like, it was basically... I mean, I've always had a history of just crazy sexual behavior that started really ramping up in college. But that I thought, you know, like, everybody does that. That's
right,
fine.
Right.
And so, like, when I came to New York, though, it really came to a head when I started getting in the Orthodox vortex and just got in a really bad place in general across the board.
Uh-huh.
So I, you know, dating this guy, it was on and off. But, like, you know, he would, and I kept hearing consistently that he was, like, seeing other women, and I would get mad, and we would break up, but then we'd go back together, and I just couldn't, like, let go of this guy. But then, like, eventually, like, so thankfully, like, he left the state on his own, because he'd always, just, like, been wanting to do that. And then, like, I realized, you know, that was my one moment of redemption to be, like, okay, I can either... like, address this right now and try to fix this right now, or else I'm going to end up in the exact same situation all over again, and this is going to be my life. And I absolutely knew at that moment that I was, like, ready to do anything to prevent that from happening, because just, like, I had lost at least one or maybe even two jobs because of me being checked out emotionally at work and emotionally volatile, just, like, not being... able to concentrate on daily functions because I was always just obsessing over this broken relationship or about other guys or about, like, you know, guys and trying to get sex just anything sex related, it was always in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. And it was really just like, I wasn't living a life. I was just living obsession. And then I was just kind of like going through the motions of everything else. It was totally off center.
Yeah.
And so, so that's what made me realize that, you know, and then in terms of definition, I'd say it's like, it's an addiction when it's harming or interrupting your life in a really bad way. Like if you're having casual sex and you're happy with it, then that's great. You're living a happy life. But if you're doing things that you don't want to do just to get sex, then that's definitely where addiction steps in. And addiction can be like involving anything. It's just obsessive compulsiveness.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be sex. It can be anything. But like in my case, it was definitely focused around sex.
Yeah.
So then I entered the meetings, and then that's the one place where I started growing this like spiritual core and the center and something that I could rely on that wasn't sexual and it wasn't, you know, like just it wasn't toxic like comedy can be, where it's about networking, about being liked,
right,
and stuff,
right,
which is an obsession in itself. It was just like being there to help and share and recover and work on good things. And that was the first like really solid ground that I had, and it just like I was just able to like really latch on to that and make it my first priority, which is why I think that I've had a really good like recovery, a really strong program in it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so that was even more of a factor than your Judaism, you said.
Way more. Like, I actually have a lot of problems with Judaism, and I was kind of like falling out of it, like, or questioning falling out of it completely before, you know, I got really just with my higher power or my definition of God in program.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, even just outside of religiously involved definitions of God, like once I became comfortable with what I felt about God on my own, then it didn't matter what, you know, a religion told me or people within a religion told me God was. Like, I already had that for myself, so I could just like freely more interact with that, and it wouldn't affect me in such a negative way.
Cool. That's awesome. So we're about out of time. I wanted to the gimmick of this show sometimes is when you don't have a religion is to make up a religion, but when you already have one, instead I ask, what is something that, whether it's with your specific personal practice or something with Judaism as a whole, you would like to change, or you would like more of a focus or emphasis on?
Like for myself or about the...
Like, is there something you would change about Judaism, or is there something you are looking to do for yourself that you're not doing within the context of...
Like less bias against converts and more not white people in it.
I mean,
I would say that would be a great, you know, goal for anything. But yeah, I think that would, and you know, it would help spread out the gene pool. Like there's nothing bad about that. And I think that would be awesome.
Right on. Well, thank you so much for coming and meeting me in the hotel room here.
For sure. It's a nice hotel. I thought it would be like a really weird, sketchy hostel, and there would just be like, you'd have a bunk bed, and that you would be doing this next to like some random Bengali person and a person from Denmark, and I'd be like, this is so weird. But it's actually nice.
Thanks. Where can people find you and your YouTube channel?
Oh, yes, for sure. Please go to youtube.com/JennyYoung, JennyYoung. And that's where I would love for people to follow me and my work. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Hey Jenny Young. I'm not as active on those, but I mostly put my stuff on my YouTube, so definitely follow me on that.
Right on. Well, thanks again. This is great.
Yeah, thanks so much, Jones. I really enjoyed it.
And that's the show. Thank you so much to Jenny. Thank you guys so much for listening. I love you guys. Jamaste.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?